Jesus. Now, Daddy, we thank you again for this opportunity that you've given us to come together around your word. Your word is always a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So help us, Daddy, to see clear and see better today in this matter and issue and theme of relationships. Father, I trust you for freedom of utterance in the Holy Spirit. Words that are alive, explosive, dynamic, undeniable, that comes directly from you. That my speech, preaching, and teaching would not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of your spirit and demonstration of your power. We love you, sir, with all of our heart and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, praise God. Amen. You know, the tribute there that we were just showing, you know, pretty much kind of Black History tribute regarding Thomas Dorsey, it really gives you a greater sense of appreciation when you understand the backstory to that song. You know, in terms of what he went through, you know, losing his wife as she's giving birth, you know, to their son, and then his son dies a few days, you know, later as well. I mean, as a father, I mean, I can't even imagine how that would hit me. And he goes off into the room. So you can hear why, you know, some of the lyrics of the song. You can hear what he's going through, you know. But I love the fact that he doesn't end in the kind of the struggle part. It's just like, Lord, take my hand. Come on, lead me on. Because I know even in the midst of this, you got something greater for us. That's always God's heart, you know, for you. Praise God. So praise God for that. Thomas Dorsey, and the blessing that he has been in this world. So, we've been dealing with this series now called Thrive, and this is really just about relationships. Has this been helping anybody so far? Yeah. I got about two people up front. Has it been helping anybody else so far? Yeah. All right, praise God. Thrive. It's all about discovering how to give and receive the most from every relationship in our lives with the aim of bringing increased health and life to each of those relationships. First week, we looked at the relationship cores, discovering the core foundations and rhythms to a healthy relationship of any kind. So we talked about these five essential interpersonal characteristics that create these healthy rhythms. We said the first one is honesty. Second, patience, unselfishness, respect or courtesy, and then personal responsibility. When these characteristics are present in relationships, I'm telling you, there's going to be healthy rhythms. Then last week, I put on my referee's, you know, uniform. I thought about putting it back on again here today so we can make some proper calls and make some wise calls, praise God. Because a lot of times, I won't speak for you, I've made some bad relationship decisions. Amen. So we looked at, okay, what's not necessarily the right thing to do? What's the wise thing to do according to God's heart? So we took really a seven-step approach about how to make wise decision when it comes to relationships. But now on today, I want to shift a little bit and talk specifically about your community. Someone say, my people. Now, every one of us needs to have a people. All of us. You want to have a people. You want to have a community. You want to have those that you know, some that are close and tight to you like nobody's business. Now that can't be everybody. Come on, let's just be, you know, open right up front. That can't be everybody. And listen, and you have the right to pick and choose your friends. You don't have to just be like, well, you know, I guess I got to be everybody's friend. Well, I mean, you can love everybody, but you know, you got a right to be able to pick and choose. Like, you know what, I'll hang out with you, but I ain't hanging out with you. Okay, all right. I already see we're going to have some issues this morning. All right, praise the Lord. Now, here's what we need to understand. What we want to deal with on today is specifically how to recognize and pursue the relationships that matter the most, that give the greatest return, and that do the most to further God's mission in this earth. So we want to understand, how do we recognize, how do we pursue these relationships? The ones that matter the most. And the ones that matter the most are the ones that give the greatest return and that do the most to further God's mission. Now, the body of Christ is a family that wields explosive power when the individuals unite together in, you know, relationship. When we come together as one, dear God, I'm telling you, there's nothing like the church. And it's not surprising then that there's this continuous assault to fracture the church, to bring you at odds with your brother or your sister in Christ. Now listen, fractured relationships, gossiping, backbiting, strife, etc., these things are all antithetical to the kingdom of God. They go against the kingdom. It's not a part of what God wants. So therefore, that means we have to, on purpose, really fight for the sense of unity and harmony. And one of the ways to do that is, well, let me understand better how to recognize and pursue these relationships that really do matter the most. The ones that's going to give the greatest return, the ones that do the most to further God's kingdom. Proverbs chapter 18, the book of Proverbs is written primarily by King Solomon, who is on record to be the wisest and most wealthiest king that the children of Israel had ever had. And really commentaries will say even other, you know, nations as well. Wisest and wealthiest. And here's one of the things he says. Friends come and friends go. Anybody ever experienced that before? Yes. It says, but a true friend sticks by you like family. Yes. Friends come, friends go. It says, but a true friend sticks by you like family. My question here is, how do you identify that true friend? Because you don't want to lose that true friend. Come on now. Some friends, you know, come and go. And watch this. Some of them, we glad they went. All right. See, y'all, one of y'all going to look all funny. Come on, there's some that you're glad they went. Just like, oh, thank you, Jesus. It says, but a true friend sticks by you like family. We don't want to lose those. We want to invest in those. We want to make sure, you know, that we are doing everything to nurture and cultivate those. Now, let me say this up front before I get into the heart of the message. This message is not about our mandate to universally love all people. Okay, so we have that mandate. Universally love all people. That's what we do. This is a message designed to help you and me to develop relationship with a specific group of people forged together by the greatest calling in life, and that is the privilege of making disciples who make disciples. That's what we're talking about here now, developing this community, your people. Let me also say this. This is not an encouragement to exclude, you know, other people. This is just simply a matter of kind of getting some wisdom to know the relationships to invest the bulk of your treasure into, because they give the greatest return on investment. You need to understand, God is big on ROI, return on investment. You need to understand, God said, I didn't shed blood just for you just to walk around here and be happy. God says, I want a return on my investment. So, understanding that, what I'm going to endeavor to do here today is try to answer this question. I believe once we kind of, you know, unpack things, hopefully this question will be answered in your head, or at least you have some greater clarity on it. And that is, how do you know what relationships to hold on to and which ones you can or should release? How do you know which relationships to hold on to nurture, to cultivate, and which ones you can and maybe even should let go? Yeah, there's some relationships you just kind of need to let go. I can remember some years ago, the Lord was dealing with about this one particular relationship. And, you know, just transparency. It was a young lady. And the Lord's like, you need to stop. I was like, why, Lord? I know y'all never do stuff like that. I was like, why, Lord? You need to stop. Leave that alone. And knowing what I know now, I clearly see, you know, what God was talking about. Now, I was hard-headed, and I didn't stop. And it hurt a lot. That disobedience, it hurt a lot. Oh, absolutely. How do you know what relationships to hold on to and which ones you can and maybe even should, you know, let go? And just because you let a relationship go doesn't mean you don't love the person. Right. Amen. See, so we gotta separate out things. Sometimes loving them is letting them go. All right, here we go. Understand this statement. There's value in every person, but not necessarily equal value in every relationship. There's value in every person, but there's not necessarily equal value in every relationship. And we'll get into it a little bit. You'll look at the life and ministry of Jesus. And Jesus was open to any and everybody, anybody could come to him. It just didn't matter. Jesus would speak to, love on, minister to any and everybody. But we also see in looking at his life that he spent more time with those who were committed to him, called disciples. And there was a multitude of disciples. They followed him all over the place. And Jesus was committed to investing in them. As a matter of fact, you look at Matthew chapter 13, I believe it is. Jesus explained why he taught in parables. You know, a lot of times, you know, we like to try to spiritualize it. Like, yes, Jesus taught in, you know, parables. He was just being so spiritual. No, Jesus said, I taught in parables because I wasn't wasting time trying to explain things to people that didn't really want to understand. That's why he taught in parables. Now, there's nothing wrong with teaching in parables, but that was the reason behind it, because he was being judicious. He's thinking about the return on God's investment, just like, I got to get the most out of this. So with these disciples, he spent more time with. Then out of the disciples, oh, no, Jesus didn't. He did something that looked like favoritism, where he had 70 of them just like, now, y'all can roll closer with me. Y'all 70. The rest of y'all, no. You're good. Your lesson's over for right now. And he spent more time with these 70. But then Jesus did something even, you know, after that. He said, yeah. I'm going to take 12 of y'all. That's going to be real close. We're going to be real tight. Now watch this. Think about this. If you're one of the 70, but you don't make the 12. How do you feel about that? That's not fair. Jesus says, I'm concerned about ROI here, return on investment. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't want to spend time with you, and I will. But the more value of my treasure that I'm giving out, the more valuable the relationship has to be. So it's 12 that he spends, you know, more time with, investing in, speaking to, teaching, giving things that he didn't give to the other disciples. Then there's 3 out of those 12 that Jesus would go off and do things and be like, you know what? I want you 3 to come with me. You 9, stay there. Go to sleep something. Y'all can't come. See, everybody can't go with you in every place that you go. But you have to understand which relationships are those. So let's begin to get into something. Let's look at very quickly discovering your community and discovering your people. Number one is this. Pursue close relationships with people who are committed to be honest, patient, unselfish, respectful, and responsible. That should sound familiar. That's those relationship cores. You want to develop a close people community? Pursue relationship, a close relationship with those who are committed to be honest, patient, unselfish, respectful, and responsible. Now, this obviously means that you're these things first. Turn to the person next to you and say, you ain't saying anything, so now you got me nervous. Okay, all right. Number 2, find those who make you feel like royalty and do the same for them. Come on. Some people, and we all have this, some people, when you come in contact with them, they just make you feel better. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's some people, I got a couple of friends, I mean, it just doesn't matter. It's like a breath of fresh air. Anytime, you know, we start to talk and so forth. It's just like, man, this is good. Everybody needs that. And when you have that, then you also want to be committed to bring that to the other person. People that make you feel like royalty. People that make you feel special. People, watch this, that give you a renewed sense of confidence and hope. You know, maybe you're having some struggles with something, and you're dealing with this and you're dealing with that, but you know, you talk to this friend and you come away from that feeling like, yeah, I can do it again. These kind of relationships you want to invest in more. Number 3, look for those willing to be accountable to you and responsible for you. Oh. Look for those that's willing to be accountable to you. So watch this. They're not acting like they got it all together. They just like, you know, like, I got it. It's me and Jesus. I feel so bad for you and your struggles. And I'm praying for you. I'll be here for you. Well, praise God for all that. But you need some individuals that are, that if you're going to be in relationship, they're willing to be accountable to you. Of like, you know what, I'm dealing with X, Y, and Z, and I need for you, you know, to kind of keep an eye on me on this. You know, where you kind of share with them, watch this, things you don't share with everybody. And listen, let's be clear. You don't need to share everything with everybody. All right, I'll go even further. You don't need to share everything with everybody in the church. You don't. Those that are willing to be accountable to you, and again, watch this, and then responsible for you. So they're not just simply going to now just share with you things that are going on, but then they're also going to take maybe what you're dealing with and say, hey, I'm here for you. I got you. I got your back. Don't you worry about a thing. What you go through, I go through. That's a friend. Those are the ones you want to invest in. Number four, cherish those relationships that were birthed out of a mutual faith in God. Come on, hold on to those. Come on, these are relationships that were birthed out of a mutual faith in God. Hold on to those. Well, one of the things that sometimes we can be very poor at, and that is relationship development. You know, friends and so forth. Listen, you have some individuals that, like, maybe y'all came, you know, into relationship with God together. Maybe you kind of both got born again or saved around the same time. Maybe you both started attending, you know, this church or that church together about the same time. Don't lose those. Don't lose those. I got a couple of those that are just very, you know, valuable to me. You know, it was born out of this mutual faith in God. It's just like, keep fighting for those. Matter of fact, Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on, you need to be able to have some friends, I would hope, if you have some relationships that were developed that way, was just like, come on, let's go worship God together. Come on, let's go to step five together. Come on, let's go through the growth track together. Come on, let's go together. Those relationships mean something to God, and they should mean something to you. Number five. Invest in relationships that have the greatest potential for advancing God's mission. Now, again, everything God does is about mission. Everything that you and I, as a follower of Christ, should do is about mission. So, therefore, friendship-wise, it should be centered still around mission. Notice what the word says here. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 46. I'm always amazed when I read this passage because it goes so countercultural to what we have been taught. It says, as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven said, now this is my brother, this is my sister, this is my mother. Or let's put it in these terms, this is my family, this is my familia. Jesus is, again, he's investing time and his treasure into the relationships that mean the most to him. And watch this. Now, this kind of, you know, ruffles our feathers sometimes. It wasn't his family. It wasn't his natural family. His natural family are outside. Why are they outside? Why weren't they in there already? Jesus says, that's your choice. And I'm not here, watch this, to even judge you on that. But let's be clear. What's most important to me here are those who are doing the will of God with me. Come on, not those who know about the will of God, not those who believe in God, those who are doing the will of God with me. He says, that's my family right here, ladies and gentlemen. He says, and therefore, those are the relationships that I'm going to invest the greatest into because they have the greatest potential for advancing God's mission. Now, obviously, we'd like to see all of our natural family be in the house, too. But what happens when they say, I don't believe in all that? Okay, well, we love you. We love you. But when it comes to developing your community, your people, have the same mindset as Jesus. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven, that's my familiar. That's who it is. See, that goes counterculture. See, all of us have been taught differently than that. You've been taught, you know, blood is thicker than water. You're right, but it's the blood of Jesus. That little blood, you know, your last name, Crawford or whatever the case. All right, I'll keep going. Number six. Don't waste time pursuing those who refuse to embrace you in the mission of God you are on. Now, let me preface this. This does not mean, again, we don't pursue people, because we do. Again, keep the context here. I'm talking about you developing your people, your community. Clearly, we pursue any and everybody who don't necessarily embrace us or embrace God or his mission. That's the evangelism side to us. But we're talking about developing this people, this community. Then I want to encourage you, don't waste time pursuing those who refuse to embrace you and the mission of God you are on. Now, they may sentimentally embrace God, but they don't embrace you, and their lives don't center around God's mission. So just because somebody says, yes, I'm a Christian and I believe in God, that don't mean anything. As scripture says, even, you know, the devil believes. So believing in God's existence, that ain't nothing major. See, but can you order now your life around his mission? Don't waste time pursuing those who refuse to embrace you and the mission of God you're on. Okay, I hear you on that. But is that really God's heart? Is that really Bible? Is that really scripture? Well, let's look at an example. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17, says, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Man, I mean, Jesus goes into, you know, different things like, one, why do you call me good? There's only one good but God. You know, well, listen, you need to honor your father and mother, you know, obey these commandments and so forth. And the person's like, man, I've done all this stuff since my youth. And then in verse 20, Jesus says this. Well, actually, the man says this. Teacher, the man replied, I have obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Now, I have to commend this man. I really do. Because if Jesus had been talking to me right then, he'd been like, now, this is, you know, there's still 6,829 things you ain't done. He says, this man, there's just one thing. I mean, do you realize how much of a compliment that is? He says, yeah, you're right. You're right, young fella. You're right. He says, but there's one thing you haven't done. It says, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Notice what happens. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad. He went away from Jesus sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Let's look at this one a little bit closer. Now, the thing we have to understand is that the man had a wrong relationship with money. He did not value God and his mission above his money. So this is an unhealthy relationship with money. Jesus, you know, picked it out. He realized it. The man looked at money as the prize, you know, rather than a tool. See, listen, God is the prize. Money is a tool. He had it flipped. And so many people will have it flipped that way. They see money as a prize and they're using God to get the money. They're using God as a tool. God said, no, 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 I'm the prize, baby. I'm the prize. You use the money as a tool for my mission. He didn't understand that. And Jesus, you know, recognized, said, man, you're missing one thing here. You're missing one thing that's real key. Let me help you. Let me help you. And think about it. It's just one thing. If you remove this one issue, this is an extremely moral and noble man. Extremely. It's just this one thing. But Jesus tried to teach him a lesson that he taught, you know, his disciples, you know, in private, that you can't serve God in money. Jesus. Says, you coming to me with this little, you know, fake pretense. Says, but your real master, I'm gonna deal with it right now. I'm gonna give you the opportunity to really choose. And who does he follow? Didn't follow Jesus. Extremely moral and noble person. But he doesn't follow Jesus. Notice that as this man walks away, Jesus turns to his disciples to teach them a lesson. The man walks away. Jesus doesn't try to stop the man. Hey, no, where are you going? Where are you going? Hold on. Wait, come back. Come back, man. Let me teach you what's wrong here. That man walks away and Jesus looks at him, well, and then he turns and says, well, let me talk to y'all. Because again, these are the relationships that have the greatest potential for advancing God's kingdom. He's walking away. Let me teach you. The lesson he was teaching now the disciples is the lesson he needed to hear. He doesn't pursue him. He doesn't pursue him because listen. You try to teach somebody something that doesn't want to hear, you're wasting your time. You're just wasting it. You have to allow them to turn back. Now they turn back. Come on. Hey. I just taught Peter, John, this. I was hoping you came back. I'm glad you came back. Yeah, I'm going to reteach the lesson just for you now that you came back. I believe that's Jesus' heart. But he left. And Jesus didn't stop him. Don't waste time pursuing those who refuse to embrace you and the mission of God you are on. Here's the thing, too, that you have to recognize about this man. He really wasn't concerned about following Jesus. Remember, when he comes to Jesus, he comes to him asking, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So he wanted to know what he needed to do to be seen, watch this, as right and moral. In the eyes of people in God. He wanted to know, what do I need to do now to acquire this valuable asset? What do I need to do? Now understand where he was, and unfortunately where a lot of times people can be today. We want the righteousness, the sense of morality, nobility, and virtue without the responsibility of following Jesus. So we have a whole world, you know, now, culture that is designed to try to show how ethical we are. And, you know, I do these good things. And so that shows how moral I am. But yet you refuse to follow Jesus. And a lot of the whole sense of charity and philanthropy and all of that stuff that exists in, you know, in our culture today comes out of the heart of God. Comes out of this culture that we see in Scripture. But individuals will do those things with a kind of pat on the back, like, look how moral and righteous I'm being, but yet refuse to follow Jesus. Because we want to be seen as moral. We want to be seen as noble without the responsibility of changing. See, because if you follow Jesus, you got to change. Okay, let me help you with this. If you're following Jesus and you stay the same, you ain't following Jesus. I just want to let you know. You ain't following. You are not following. Don't waste time pursuing those who refuse to embrace you and the mission of God you are on. Now, I went up to the mountaintop. I was on the mountaintop. God began to speak to me, and he engraved these commandments on these two tablets. 10 of them. Can you believe it? It was 10 of them. And the Lord says, share these with my people. So let's end with this. 10 commandments of friendship. Now, of course, I'm just joking about the mountaintop stuff. But 10 commandments of friendship. That's what Moses did. Remember Moses went up and God spoke to him and gave him the 10 commandments. Well, there's 10 commandments of friendship that I really want to encourage you and myself to adopt and give strong attention to as you're developing your people. And maybe you have a people, and that's great. Make it better. Make your people, make your community better. 10 commandments of friendship. Are you ready? Yes. Number one, thou shalt remain loyal and devoted to God all the days of your life. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be a good friend to others, you got to be a friend of God first. Amen. You're not a friend of God. Trust me, you may be a very moral and noble person. But eventually, we're going to come across that thing that stands between you and God. And therefore, our relationship now is, you know, has that, you know, that's going to wind up being in the middle of it. We, you know, I'm going to wind up getting hurt. Because eventually, we're going to come, you know, to that point. Just like, oh, yeah, no. My money comes before you. And I'd be like, oh, I thought we was, yeah, no, you need to go somewhere else. All right. Number two, thou shalt pray regularly for and invest in each other's growth, development, and success. Come on now. If it's going to be a friend, you got to pray regularly for them. You want to invest in each other's growth, their development, and their success. That's what friends do. Come on, say it with me. See, that's what friends do. Oh, yeah. Commandment number three. Thou shalt always speak truth and words of life to and about each other. Friends, do not talk about each other. Friends speak truth to each other, and friends speak life to each other. And friends don't talk about each other, and friends don't allow somebody else to talk about their friend to them. I mean, how does it look? Y'all would look at me funny. If such and such person came up here and started talking and be like, yo, you know, Pastor Crawford, yeah, you're great. Now, you know, Pastor Rhonda, though, she ain't really all that to me. And I'm sitting there listening like, oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, okay. And then didn't say anything. Y'all look at me like I was crazy. You'd be like, what kind of old raggedy husband are you? You gonna let somebody talk down about your wife? No, not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. But watch this. When you got real friends, though, you may not be married to them, but you got real friends. Somebody start there, you know, trying to go there, be like, oh no. Oh no, you got me mixed up. I don't play that middle school game. You wanna talk about, you know, no. Oh, it's like that. You better believe it's like that. Listen, that is my friend. I don't talk about them, and I ain't going to let somebody stand in front of me and talk about them. Oh, I'm teaching a lesson here. I see that. Yeah, okay. Commandment number four. I told you, got these from the mountaintop. Thou shalt always give the advantage to, not take advantage of. As a friend, you are always given the advantage to. You're not there to take advantage of. Come on, the friend, watch this. You know, jumps in there to get the bill. You know, I got, you know, friends, family, you know, so forth. And, you know, my family pretty much know I'm fast on the bill. Come on, we out at the restaurant or whatever. Come on, I'm fast on the bill. I'm fast on it. I mean, you know, my pastor, I have to get him. This is what I literally have to do. I go out to lunch or something with him. I literally like, hey, you know what? I'm about to go to the bathroom. I go find, you know, the server, be like, give me the bill. Hey, here's the money. All right, boom. That's the only way I can pay for it. Otherwise, if that thing hit the table, bang, he's on it. So I learned how to get him now. Yeah, he does. I got to come up with another one. But the issue that I'm trying to stress is that you're looking to give the advantage to. You're not looking to take advantage of. That's not friendship. You got somebody, watch this, that you're in relationship, and let me just be, you know, plain, and they're just constantly sucking on you. I mean, they're just constantly draining you. I mean, come on. There are times when friends are in need. Okay, so come on. You be there for them. But that shouldn't be all their life. That shouldn't be every year. That shouldn't be every other month. All right. Told you I've been to the mountaintop. Yes, I have a dream. All right, here we go. Number six. Sixth commandment. Number five. Thank you. Number five. Come on now. See, y'all been to the mountaintop too. Thou shalt be an instrument that sharpens, refines, and makes the other better. Oh, you're going to be a friend? Be an instrument that sharpens, refines, and makes the other better. Listen, this is going to sound a little bit harsh, but just receive it. You got close people in your life that bring no value to you, you got them too close. All right, I'll just put it there. I'll leave that there. Iron sharpens iron. So does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. So does a woman sharpen the countenance of his friend. You don't get any sharpening. You're always the one sharpening. You're always the one making better. See, this friendship is not, it's not equal. All right, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Can I go to number six now? Sixth commandment, thou shalt be there for each other in times of need, hurt, and celebration. Come on now. Thou shalt be there for each other in times of need. Come on, be there in times of need. Be there in times of hurt. Come on, be there in times of celebration. Be there. Hey, listen, I'll put this out there. Because I'm not a person, never have been, never will, that tries to draw, you know, this attention, you know, to myself and like, you should do this for me, that or the other. Just don't do it. So in December, yeah, I graduated, finished off my Master's of Divinity degree. And so I had a graduation. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to go and participate physically in the graduation. So I wasn't really trying to, per se, just invite people. You know, I sent out, you know, a few announcements and so forth. And it blessed my heart, you know, the number of people that was like, I'm coming. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I only get five tickets. I have to get five tickets. I had to work to get some other tickets. But there were some individuals, though, that were just like, hey, it doesn't matter. We're going to be there. Absolutely bless my heart. You know, they're there, yeah, in times of need, times of hurt. That's good. But they were there in a time of celebration. I mean, it meant a tremendous, you know, amount to me. And some of you are here, so thank you so much, you know, for being there. I greatly appreciate that. Number seven, there's others that wanted to be there. I get it. So thank you too. Commandment number seven, thou shalt be loyal, dependable, and resourceful to the other when he or she is faced with adversity. Come on. Loyal, dependable, and resourceful. Loyal, dependable, and resourceful. When a person is dealing, your friend is dealing with adversity, they need your loyalty. They need your dependability. Come on, they need now your resourcefulness. Can we just talk? You know, if I'm going through a financial challenge, I just don't just simply need your hug. Come on, let's talk it out. Come on. Come on, you on the verge of getting evicted, and your friend like, oh, I feel so for you. I appreciate that, but you got some money? All right. Y'all didn't want to hear. I told you I've been to the mountaintop. Y'all better catch this. Be resourceful. That doesn't mean, again, that you got to pay everybody's bills every time they, you know, have an emergency. Sometimes people are just not planning well. But when you got a community and you got a friend, watch this, who's being a friend like you, you already understand if this is something that they're going through, this is kind of a one-off. And let me help them get through it because I know they'd help me through it. Number eight, thou shalt not purposely harm, hurt, or injure the other. Come on, you will not purposely, you know, harm, hurt, or injure. And I say purposely. Sometimes as friends, there can be a little friction. That doesn't mean the friendship has gone bad. Sometimes it's just a little clash that can happen. But purposely, you shouldn't hurt the person, shouldn't harm them, shouldn't injure them. So that's physically, that's emotionally, that's spiritually, that's financially. Don't do it. Number 9, thou shalt allow the other to support you in times of need, hurt, and celebration. Now, I had to put this in there. It's similar to commandments, you know, number six. It's similar to that, but it's the opposite. Thou shalt allow the other person to support you in times of need, hurt, and celebration. Some people, we can have an issue where we have to battle through pride. You know, we can have that kind of Herculean complex. In other words, watch this. It's really easy for us to give. We struggle to receive. Yeah. So if we're on the side of helping, it's just like, boom, you feel empowered. It's just like, yeah, what you need? I got you. But then when you are in trouble, you don't want to let anybody know. See, now when you're talking about now friends, you're developing this community, you have to allow the others to be there to support you in those times of need, times of hurt, times of celebration. You gotta put the pride and everything to the side. I learned this lesson painfully some years ago. I was single, you know, still at the time. I was single and I was broke. I mean, I was broke, and I ain't had an E on the end of the word. I was broke. I was just B-R-O-K. It was, praise the Lord. And then because I'm broke, I'm going through something where I'm actually hungry because I'm not eating a lot because I'm B-R-O-K. And the Lord sent a friend. Hey, Crawford, you good? You need something? Now, I'm telling you, I remember this very clearly. I was extremely hungry at that moment that he asked me the question. And I looked right at him and I said, oh, no, I'm good. I'm blessed of the Lord and highly favored. Power to prosper. Individual look, like, okay. I go home, I'm hungry. And I'm talking to God. And I'm like, you know, what's going on here? And the Lord just began to do me. He said, son, you're going to have to get rid of this pride. He said, you're going to have to get rid of this pride, son. I said, God, I mean, I need you. And God, like, I'm trying to be there for you, but you keep turning everybody away. See, because watch this. Here's the thing that we don't like. We like everything to be in private. But oftentimes our deliverance comes with other people being involved.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm hungry. God sends someone to me and I turn them away. And I'm still mad. Now I'm still mad at God. God's like, no, son, it's just you. It's just you. You're good to give, but you can't receive. It says, and you think you're being, you know, like, you know, humble or spiritual in that, like, oh, no, I'm fine. It says, no, son, it's just pride. It's just pride. Because when you're in that giving position, a lot of people, again, you feel like you're in the superior position. Like, yes, you need my help. Oh, yes, I'm here for you. But now when you're in that receiving position, you don't feel that. Somebody else now has that. That pride was raking me over. And as a result, I went hungry longer than I should have. So learn from my foolishness and my pain. You know, this is something God, you know, shared with me some time ago. God is not obligated to, nor will he change the method of his deliverance to satisfy our people complex, personal reputation, fears and insecurities, or our desire to be private. God says, I'm not going to change my method of deliverance. I'm going to answer your prayers. I'm in covenant with you, so I'm going to make sure you have what you need. Says, but I get to control what I send. You don't get to dictate to me like, no, you can't send. No, please don't tell them, God. God says, I'll get it to you. And you stay open enough to receive. This is what good friends do. You allow the others to support you. Here, let me wrap this up. I'm over time. The 10th commandment. All commandments are important, but don't lose sight of this 10th commandment. Thou shalt always honor God in the friendship and center the friendship around God and his mission. Always honor God in the friendship and center the friendship around God and his mission. Watch this. Don't center the friendship around you and them. Center the friendship around God. Center it around his mission. Father, we honor you. Thank you so much. Help us to see better the relationships that we need to invest in more. Help us, Daddy, to identify those that maybe we need to give a little space to. Help us, Father, to reflect the heart and spirit of friendship that you lay out for us in your word. Daddy, like you, we love everybody. We know that's your commandment and instruction unto us. But at the same token, we also see the model that Jesus laid out where he invested his treasure in varying degrees with various people. Help us, Father, to know how to do that effectively as well. Loving all, but investing in those places where we can get the greatest return for you. So we love you, sir. We give you praise for helping us to thrive in our relationships today. In Jesus' wonderful name. If you agree, would you say amen? Amen, praise God. Amen. Please keep your heads bowed with me just for a moment. Listen. The very first commandment of friendship is that you have to have this relationship with Almighty God that you cherish, that you nurture, and that you grow in. Unless you are a friend with God, listen, you're never going to be a very good friend to anyone else. So it all starts right there in that very first primary relationship. So if that's you, you've never made a decision to step into that relationship, whether you're here present in the auditorium or if you're online, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. And I want to introduce you to the best friend ever. This is the one that we learned how to be friends with one another from. So if you've never done that, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you today. Now heads are bowed and eyes are closed in prayer. So nobody's looking around. No one's talking. But this is what I need for you to do. And you can do this at home as well. If you desire for me to pray for you on that specific issue, to introduce you to the best relationship in your life, would you just let me know right now by just lifting up one hand under heaven right where you are, whether you're here in the auditorium or whether you're at home. Now, at home, I can't see you, but that's all right. Your good, good Father can, and he loves you. You can raise your hand too as an act of faith. Says, yes, yes, I'm joining you. Remember what we talked about. This is not about a sense of just being moral and good people. No. This is about following Jesus. That's what a disciple is. It's one who follows Jesus and embraces now his sacrifice, his identity, and his mission. So if you've never done that before, come on. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you today. This is what I'm going to ask. I'm just going to ask everyone in the house and you at home too. Just lift up two hands under heaven. This is where our help comes from. He's our precious Lord, and he indeed has taken our hand. Say this out loud with me. Dear Father God, thank you so much for your amazing love and giving to me your son Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, my savior, my Lord, my king, my everything. I turn my back on my plans, and I embrace your plan and purpose for my life. Thank you so much for making me your own. Amen.